Welcome to this week on Channel 9. Today I'm joined with Robert Green. Okay, that's okay to have a pause before I say your name.
You can say whatever you want.
Nowadays I'm watching a lot of Friends. And
Friends?
The show Friends. Yeah. And good thing I didn't say Rachel Green, so.
You know, there is a Rachel Green at Microsoft, and her email address is rgreen.
Oh, really?
Yes, and which was my old email address when I left, and then I came back. You got to be at a higher level than me to get your alias back. So okay. I'm now rogreen. She's rgreen, so when people email me at rgreen, they always email her.
Good thing you are not like you are green. Is that a good thing to be green?
It is. It's an excellent thing.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with the first story.
Okay.
There are a lot of conferences going on. So one of them being the Mobile World Congress. And we won 10 different awards in categories like Best Mobile Tablet and some of the...
Best Mobile Tablet would be the Surface Pro 3, of which I'm the proud and happy owner of one.
Thank you.
Yes.
I'm using your laptop. I forgot to get my charger, so I'm using his laptop. But yeah, Surface Pro 3, it's an awesome tablet, and it's right here in front of you. And so, yeah, go and check it out. And some of the versions of Lumia phone also won. Mm-hmm. But I haven't used these versions, so maybe they are like more popular in like emerging markets or some 640.
There's a lot of Lumias
A lot of Lumias, yeah. So... Windows 10 Universal Platform.
Yep. So at last build, we talked about the convergence of the API, you know, Windows Store, Windows Phone, how it was merging together, made a lot of progress. We'll be speaking quite a bit about it more at the upcoming build.
Yep.
This past week, Kevin Gallo had a blog post about the Windows 10 Universal model. So we're starting to, Universal Platform, so we're starting to reveal a little bit more.
Yeah.
Very good post in here. The whole idea is that you have a single API, and whether you're targeting Windows or Windows Phone or additional devices across the spectrum, that you'd have a single API. And he talks a little bit about the tooling here, a little bit more about what will be coming. So it's a good read to kind of prepare you for build and get you excited for additional stuff we're going to say at build.
And the thing that, you know, people have been talking about Universal App Platform for a long time, but the things that makes it more interesting is that the last time when we spoke, we didn't have HoloLens, we didn't have Surface Hub, or even Band. And this time when we're talking about it, we are saying, hey, we still have the Universal App story going on with these more devices added to the category of devices we support or operating system.
A very cool world when you've got a single model for talking to a wide range of devices.
And including Xbox.
Yes.
So with some of the cool announcement at the GDC, one of the big announcement was the announcement of the developer tools for Xbox. So there is a Xbox Live SDK, which is now used to be available to a small set of partners, and they were building these games. So some few games were released through those partners, but now the Xbox Live SDK is going to be available to the broad developers, so
anybody with a retail Xbox.
Yep.
I may actually now go buy one.
so anyone with an Xbox, you can also like build your games on Windows 10 and then, you know, like push it to the store.
And the cool thing is it's not just games, right?
You
can do any kind of app, whether it's, you know, a reading app or a photo viewing app or to-do lists or music or, you know, scheduling, anything you want.
Yeah, anything you want. It can be on Xbox, it can be on Windows or any of the devices. So there's one store. So you can access through the Universal Store. There is also one community for the app building experience.
Right.
So it's not just about the Universal Platform and the core operating system being the same and the APIs being the same. It's also about how we bring the community together towards building those apps and having that experience. So Xbox. GDC 2015 again.
The G in GDC stands for games, so we've just been talking about more general apps. We should probably talk about games. Which you're big on the Xbox, I hear.
Yeah, I get addicted. Like, and during the December time frame when it's winters in Seattle, mm-hmm. and it's dark and gloomy, hardly people are coming to work, I become a game addict.
Awesome.
Don't tell it to anyone else.
No, our secret.
Yeah, so few more announcements around the Xbox One and Windows 10, and I would suggest you to go through the show notes on this one and see the video of like which new releases of games are coming up and what does it mean based on like, you know, the tooling and support. I'm more excited about the titles that will be coming mm-hmm. up. It tells a person whether yep. you want next year to invest in like Xbox One or you want to get PS4?
I don't know.
Okay. But anyways, yeah.
The other machine. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Okay. So improving HTML accessibility with Visual Studio extension. So there is Tenon, I don't know if I'm saying it right. Tenon? T-E-N-O-N? Tenon HTML?
Tenon or Tenon? I don't know.
Yeah. So Tenon HTML Accessibility Checker is now available on Visual Studio. It's integrated with Visual Studio. So you can go to the Visual Studio Gallery, download it, and you know it will appear as part of your extensions. You can debug your static HTML. You can also debug dynamically when you're running your code. And it's not just HTML files. It's also .asp and .expx files. So and even like XHTML and all. So cool thing that, you know, we have this gallery and then we can build extensions for it. And you can also check, add it as an add-on on your IE. And then again, you know, you can debug through IE. Mm-hmm. Besides the F12 functionality, there's more value add, you know, having this checker in your IE and in your Visual Studio while you're writing HTML pages.
All right,
Visual Studio.
Debugging. This is a blog post by Andrew Hall, and I've had him on the Visual Studio Toolbox show a number of times to talk about debugging and diagnostics. Every version of Visual Studio makes, I think, great leaps forward in the ability mm-hmm. to actually debug and diagnose your applications. And this particular blog post by Andrew is about tips that you can use to speed up debugging mm-hmm. And a little bit more insight into how the debugger works mm-hmm. and then a call to let us know when debugging is slow. I mean, yep. obviously, if your app's slow, if your app's having problems, that's why you debug. But if debugging mm-hmm. itself is also yeah. slow, then, you know, it's not only more time consuming, but yeah, it might make you do less of it, which would yeah. be kind of bad. So there's some pretty good tips in here about it. Yeah. Again, how it works and things that you can do to make it better.
Yep. And JavaScript. So last to last week, we spoke about JavaScript being one of the popular languages on GitHub in terms of the number of people contributing to it and how actively they are contributing mm-hmm. to it and other factors. And so I would say JavaScript is a popular language, and if you want to learn JavaScript and you're like a beginner or even like an intermediate JavaScript person, I would qualify myself something between beginner and intermediate.
Okay.
But when I started writing JavaScript, I had...
It's difficult to learn, especially if you're coming from a strongly typed language like
yep.
C Sharp.
Yep.
It can be hard to learn. Now. Yep. Yeah, you can use TypeScript, which helps, but
yep.
at the end of the day, you need to understand the JavaScript. So you need to learn JavaScript.
Yep.
And so if this study guide makes it easier to learn JavaScript, so
why not?
Totally in favor of it.
Yeah. Please go and read this particular article and see what this person has to write, because you will eventually learn, you know, gain insights
yeah.
from this person's troubles and, you know, what people usually go through when they're writing JavaScript for the first time. So, infographics.
Infographics. This site is on the Daily Infographics. So, infographics are a way of displaying lots of information in illustrative pictures. So, you see them all over mm-hmm. the web. And this site, Daily Infographic, shows you every day an infographic. So this is just a cool, if you, it's nothing more than a diversion to go to this site, learn something, share it with your friends, impress people at what you know. So just a great way to display information and then maybe give you some insights into how you might display information in your own applications, right? You know, maybe we're all used to doing reports, tables, rows and columns. And, you know, if you could get good at graphics and build those into your application. So when somebody goes to do a sales report or something, or a report of outstanding invoices, you know, some boring line of business function, you pop it up in an infographic. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, this is really cool. And it's, I think it's, there is an infographic part of it, like the visualization aspect of it. And then there is the data that goes behind the infographics, which is when you combine the power of two, it like, it stays in your head. And so I would go through the, go to this site to learn something.
Learn how to do it.
Learn how to do it, and also like learn the new facts and figures, like
you know, canonical example is the the blue red. You see it all the time on CNN and MSNBC and all the election shows. There's blue states and red states. But if you turn that into an infographic, you can have the number, some number in there, and the larger the number is, now you're showing trends. So you can have trending. You can have whether or not the state's in play. You can get an awful lot of information from the state, the color, and a couple of numbers. And now instead of just saying one thing, here are all the red and blue states, you actually got two or three more levels of information. That's basically what an infographic is. So
I'll talk to you later about the blue and red and if that has got anything to do with the American flag.
Gee, I wonder. Maybe.
Maybe, or it just happened to be.
That's probably not a coincidence.
Okay, thank you. So, this week on GDC, a lot of things happened, and Unreal Engine also announced that they are making their engine free. So now developers, hobbyists, model, visual model designers can go and download Unreal Engine and play with it, publish games. The catch is you have to pay a royalty. You remember Shark Tank, where you put your idea and then, you know, they say, give us royalty, ongoing royalty, like 1 cent every $100 you sell. But anyways, $3,000, if you cross a $3,000 margin, then, you know, you pay them like, what, 5% royalty.
Okay.
Yeah. But
it's fair.
It's fair. And it's a cool, it's a cool engine. And some of the games that they published was Unreal Tournament, which is like Quake 3.
Neither of which I've ever played.
Yeah, this is not a trivia question. But but anyways, this is really exciting news for developers, and please go and check this out. And based on that, my pick of the week is Unity 5. Like Unity also made an announcement that they are making their, earlier I think it was a subscription-based model, they're also introducing like a free tier, so you can now download the Unity 5 game engine and build games on top of it. And this is royalty-free, by the way, so they don't charge you royalty, but it's basically a feature-based thing, that there is a free version of it, and then there is a paid version where you pay for using the features and getting beta access to some of the things that they have been doing and all those things. But cool things are happening. People are like giving you their engines for free. And if you are a game developer, this is really exciting news. Like, just download the engine and I would start modeling, you know, the visual models that you create for games. It's really interesting tools.
Yeah, they're pretty, Unity, they're pretty intensely graphic games. So if you're just starting out in gaming, it may be kind of overkill at first. But it's very, very powerful stuff.
It's like playing Skyrim as the first game and then playing Oblivion the next time. But anyways.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
I'm not a big gamer. I want to write a game or two, but I don't actually play a lot of them.
No worries.
So my off-the-slides pick of the week is to wish you a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
My official pick of the week is the introduction to the Common Language Runtime. Now, the background for this is, as you know, .NET has been open sourced
yep.
and is on GitHub.
Yeah.
In addition to being able to work on the code, they've been sharing quite a bit of information. Mm-hmm. It turns out that on the .NET team, they had this thing called the Book of the Runtime, which is basically mm-hmm. if you're a new developer on the team, these are kind of the documents that you would read to understand how the CLR works and things like that. And now they've made a number of them public on their GitHub site. So the one I would highly recommend everybody to read is this one, Introduction to the Common Language Runtime,
yeah.
which is basically, it's almost like the spec of the CLR.
Uh-huh.
So it would give you tremendous insights into how things like garbage collection work and mm-hmm. You know, threading and what it means to
yep.
be managed code.
Yeah.
Really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
So even if you're not a C++ developer, mm-hmm. you know, obviously you're just a VB or C# person using
yeah.
the CLR, I think you'd learn a lot from this.
Yeah, there's a lot to learn from the investment people have made, huge number of people have made for like 10, mm-hmm. 20 years?
Yeah.
Like, I was not...
It's not 20 years.
Okay, 10
first
years.
First appeared in 2002.
I can only speak for the time I have...
20 years ago, were you even born then?
I was.
Okay.
Thank you for joining us today, and happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
See you guys.
See you, bye-bye.